And I'm going to be preaching from this book today, some ideas. And the name of the book is Praying Circles. And in this book, it tells a story that is a Jewish traditional story. It's not in the Bible, so it's not authoritative word of God. The principle of the story, though, teaches us about the word. And we're going to talk about that as we talk about prayer circles. But there was a man in this story named Honi, and he was part of a Jewish tribe, and he was known for prayer. He was known specifically for being able to pray for rain. And the story is told that there was a drought in the land, and that the people had began to feel like God was not hearing their prayer. And you read in the book that they go to Honi and they say, "Look, God is not hearing us and he's not answering us." And Honi said, "Well, I can tell you this, he may not be answering, but I can assure you he hears the prayers of his people and that he is hearing you." And they said, "Well, we want you to help us because we know that you pray for rain." So Honi walks into the city, a crowd's gathering. They know that he has a reputation for praying for rain, and so they're watching. And he takes his staff and he stands and he sticks the end of his staff into the dirt and he turns in a full circle until he has drawn a circle around himself. And then he says to the Lord, "Lord, I'm not going to leave this circle until you send rain." So the people really were watching now, and he had their attention. And he prayed for rain, and within minutes, drops began to fall. As a matter of fact, it started raining so hard that he said, "Now, Lord, I prayed that you would send a rain that fills cisterns and pits and wells." But it became so overwhelming that he said, "Lord, a favorable rain." He even got more specific, and the rain changed from a downpour to a steady sprinkle, the kind that you know is going to soak in the ground. And people started running around and dancing in it and having a good time. It so impressed the villagers that they began to make prayer circles. When somebody needed to be healed, they would make a circle. When something needed to happen in their finances, they would make a circle. So in this book, he uses this as an illustration to talk about prayer circles. So I need to tell you right off the bat now, I'm not talking about physically drawing circles around things, okay? Because I know how it is. Look, last service, Jimmy DeSoto, he came to the 10 o'clock service. Jimmy's a big bass fisherman, and he got up and went bass fishing this morning, so he's parked out in the grass out there with his bass boat behind him. Now, you know, if we could draw circles, I'd go draw a circle around that bass boat, you know? And y'all do the same thing. Y'all would have chalk and paint with you all the time, be circling stuff, right? So it's not that. Let me just say this right away, that a prayer circle simply means that you are committed to pray about something until it changes. That you are going to grab a hold to the hand of God and be faithful in prayer, just that simple, until something changes. Let's look at a scripture on prayer, one of my favorite. It's Luke 18:1. It simply says this. It says that Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and never give up. Say that after me. Always pray and never give up.
Always pray and never give up.
I wonder if we could say that. I will always pray and never give up. You say that.
I will always pray and never give up.
That's a powerful statement, isn't it? It can even make you feel a little bit convicted just when you say it, right? Because that's not always how we feel. We don't feel like we're always going to pray. We don't feel like we're never going to give up. But here's the cool thing. Jesus never asks us to do anything that he's not going to empower us to do. He gives us his spirit so that we can have a spirit that doesn't give up this morning. Some of you, if you don't hear anything else this morning, you need to hear this. Don't give up. It is not too late for you. Praise God, you have not been disqualified. It is not too late. Always pray and never give up. Look again in Matthew 6 where Jesus is talking about prayer. He says, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others." All right, so this happened, you know, quite a bit back then. People would come into the synagogue and they would pray, or they would show that they were fasting. They'd go out and cover their head in dust, and they would wear sackcloth because they wanted everybody to think they were spiritual. Now, you know that can happen in today's society too. We can go to church and we can smile and we can act like everything's good because people can see what we're doing. Jesus says that happens. People come into the synagogues and they pray, "Oh, most heavenly Father," and they pray where everybody can hear them. And they make their voice do this. I don't know why. And I, look, this is a commercial. For those of you who are visiting, I give commercials. It's not chasing rabbits. I know it has nothing to do with what I'm preaching on, but I'm going to give you a little commercial. I have a little pet peeve about people praying long blessings, you know. It's just my little thing. And so even when my children were young, I would say a blessing and I would go long on purpose just to kind of aggravate them. I'd start praying for the missionaries and everybody, you know, and they like, finally they look up and go, "Dad." So here I am. How many of you believe I could get myself in embarrassing situations? So here I am. I'm going to be a youth pastor up in North Louisiana. They've invited me in to preach, and I'm about to become the new youth pastor at Rocky Branch Assembly of God in North Louisiana. And this couple invites us over to eat at their house that night. Well, he starts saying the blessing, y'all, and it is so long that I am sure he's kidding around like I do with my kids. So I just say amen right in the middle of it. The look that I got when he looked up, I was pretty sure he wasn't kidding. He looked like I was the devil, and I felt like the devil. It has nothing to do except for Jesus says, it's not in what you say. It's not in what people hear or what people see. He said, here's what I want you to do when you pray. He says, truly I tell you. Now, this guy wasn't doing that. But he said, truly I tell you, anybody who does what they do to be seen, whether they're praying in public or just showing up at church or whatever, he said, they have received their reward in full. In other words, nothing else is coming. When they stand before God, if they're just living this religious life to be seen, Jesus says, enjoy that because that's the only reward you're getting. So, but he says, but when you pray, you go into your room and close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. He says there's a place for you to get alone with God, to get in that secret place where you pour your heart out to him. And how many of you know it, there's some times when you need to be in a secret place with God? I don't know about you, but I don't want to pour my heart out to God in front of you. Right? Hello? Sometimes you need some privacy. There's going to be some intimate things said. There's going to be some things that I'm trying to deal with in private before they become public. Come on. Yeah, y'all listening as good as I'm preaching? Okay, I just want to be sure. So he says, close the door. Get along with me. Pour your heart out to him. Get to know me in a private place. Find out who I am behind a closed door with you. He says, and then when you've been with me, who is unseen, I will cause things to happen in your life where people will look and they will know. See, he said, I'm going to reward you in public for what happens in the secret place. So if we're going to become people who pray circles and people of prayer, and I believe God is specifically really emphasizing prayer in my life and in the life of Life Fellowship, We Factor Prayer. Because I had a lunch with Pastor Trey and Pastor Logan a few weeks ago, and we were at Grumpy's, and I'd never eaten there. And so I didn't know what to order, but I know what I didn't order. I didn't order a muffalata. But Pastor Logan did, and I was experiencing food envy. It might have been muffalata lust going on. I was thinking, boy, I should have trusted Pastor Don. He's got the experience and the wisdom, you know. So we went back later, and I did get one. But as we sat there and talked, Trey began to share his heart with Pastor Logan and with me about prayer and how he and Allie have a special heart for prayer. And I began to be challenged. Have you ever get around somebody where they have a strength that challenges you? That's good. That's called iron sharpening iron. And we need to do that. And well, I thought, you know what? Nothing great has ever been accomplished in the kingdom of God that didn't start with prayer. You will never meet a great man or woman of God that did not have a consistent prayer life. So I've been challenged in my own personal prayer life, and I can look back and see where God has moved when I prayed. When I had a habit of getting alone with him and spending that time in the secret place, and then people will see you and they'll say, wow, they have favor on him. Or they might even look and go, wow, why hasn't God killed him yet? The only reason is you have a heart for God. I mean that. The greatest legacy, one of the greatest legacies we can leave to our children, and this is something that he talks about in the book, is a legacy of prayer. You know, David left a great legacy. David, King David in the Bible, the young boy who killed Goliath. Let me encourage you, first of all, that David had failures. I mean, he had someone murdered. He committed adultery. He lost the baby that was conceived in that adulterous act. But still, he's listed as a hero of faith. God still used him, even though David had to pay a price for sin. But this is what the Bible says. The Bible says that David had a heart that was patterned after God, that he was a man after God's heart. And when he was dead, over 300 years, one of his descendants was on the throne of Israel, and he was in trouble. And God said to that descendant, I would destroy you today if it was not for my servant David. Which would have been his great, 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 great granddaddy. How many of you know that's a legacy? A legacy of prayer, that we can store up prayers, that blessings and deliverance and mercy can happen in generations after us. After we are dead and gone, our prayers can still be answered in the lives of our descendants. The greatest legacy, and one of the greatest legacies we can leave, is prayer. And my Papa Brian was a man of prayer. He was crippled, and he ran a little country store, and he never left that store. But the influence that he had as a man of God was phenomenal. When he died, and he was in the little funeral home in Atmore, Alabama, people were out on the lawn. We didn't have room for salesmen had driven in from Birmingham, 300 miles away, just because they had stopped in on this man for a few years and sold hardware or something like that to him, but they were so impressed with him. I'm sure today that prayers are being answered in my life that my Papa Brian prayed over me. My mama prays and fasts for me every Wednesday. God forbid, if I live out my life normally, then I will outlive her. And we'll go through her stuff. And we're going to find a bunch of these little spiraled notebooks stacked up everywhere. And it's going to be prayer journals. And it's going to be Bible lessons. And I see them, and I've seen her do them all the time. That she probably needs to write a book, Mama, if you're watching. She's 78, still going strong. She's leaving a great legacy in my life. Leave a legacy. You know, Nick gave us an encouragement of seeing the rainbow this week. And it's a sign of the promises of God. When you pray, learn how to pray the promises of God. Learn how to get a hold of God with his promises. How do I do that, Pastor? Well, I got to know what's in his book. And when I pray, I can say, Lord, now your word says, this isn't just what I want. This isn't just a fleshly desire of mine, but I can pray your promises. Your word says that if I give, it shall be given unto me. Pressed down and shaken together will men give running over into my bosom. That means if I give mercy, I receive mercy. If I give grace, I receive grace. If I give my money and tithes and offerings, you are going to take care of me and my finances. You are faithful to your promises. I want to tell you something. If you listen to me. If you are being faithful in your tithes and offerings and you're not blessed financially, something is wrong. You come tell me about it, we'll get your bills paid, because I'm telling you, you do not honor God first without being honored back. He is, y'all are getting quiet in this Presbyterian church. He's faithful to his promises. Lord, your word says that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Lord, you said when the enemy comes in like a flood. Lord, you said, your word said, we need to learn how to pray God's word to him so that we know we are praying his promises. Why? Because he's never going to fail one of his promises. If God said it, he will absolutely do it. And I can tell you this, people don't post on Facebook, here's 10 prayers God didn't answer. We just don't do that, do we? I'm glad they don't. But we don't celebrate unanswered prayer. We celebrate answered prayer. But I can assure you, not every prayer is going to be answered the way you want it. All right? So some of you, you know, you're praying to win the lottery. Yeah, well, so are 200 million other people. You know, it's like that movie. I think it was Bruce Almighty. He let them all win, you know, and they all got like $6 a piece. But there's some things that you can pray that you know is God's will. And see, you circle them. That's the prayer circle. The prayer circle is not drawing a circle. It simply means I am going to pray, Lord, until something happens. Because I'm praying your promises and I'm praying your will, and I am going to hold on. I may be circling my marriage. I may be circling my finances. I may be circling my child or a loved one or my job or my career. But God, you have promised me this. You have promised that you would show me favor. You said that it's your will that all should be saved. And I am praying for you to save my loved one. And I'm not leaving this prayer circle until you move, Lord. Faith moves God. I talked to you a lot about how God is faithful when we're faithless. And you need to know that he is. That even when you're faithless, he's faithful. But you also need to know that our faith pleases God. And it's a prayer faith that moves God. I don't mean we demand him. I don't mean we control him or that we have some kind of formula. No. I just mean we do what he told us to do. We pray his word and his will. And we pray with prayer lists. When we were young and it was Christmas time, we would make out a list for Santa Claus, you know, what you wanted. I wanted Tonka trucks. Anybody know what that is? Back when they used to be metal? You're too young for that. You had a plastic one, didn't you? You have old school? They obviously went to Africa when they were 13, if they've been there 7 years, you know. Little kids. I mean, I would pray for Tonka. I got a pony 1 year. Y'all know I got a mini bike 1 year. I told you about mini bike Christmases. But listen, when I talk about a list, we don't need to confuse this. I'm not talking about coming to God with a Santa Claus list of God, bless me, bless me, bless me. But I mean after being in that secret place and being alone with him, he will impress on you. See, when we talk about I heard God say, does that kind of make you uncomfortable when preachers say that? Well, I heard God say, because you're thinking, man, he don't speak to me like that. Well, he doesn't speak to me in audible voice either. But when I spend time in prayer with him and private worship with him, he begins to impress things, and I get it in my spirit, and I don't know any other way to explain it. You have to experience this yourself, that you allow him to place things. And you may hear an audible voice from God, but I never have. But yet he impresses things on my spirit. And guess what? If it's in this word and it's a promise in his word, I know he wants me to have that, right? So right after I got saved, I made a list of other people that I wanted to be saved. I wanted them to experience what I had. I had grown up in church. I had walked the aisle when I was 4 years old. And in the Baptist church, I was done. I was good to go. And I realized in my early 20s that there was something missing. I didn't have a revelation of the grace of God in my life. And so I gave my life to Jesus in my early 20s, and I made this list. One of the guys at the top of the list was named Dempsey Hall. And he was my coon hunting buddy. Now, if you don't know what coon hunting is, I'm sorry that you are not cultured. You go to YouTube and put in Jerry Clower. And you listen to a bunch of Jerry Clower, and next Sunday you can be cultured like me when you get here. So here's what I would do. I started hunting with Dempsey. He's probably 15 years older than me. And I was young, 17-year-old. I'm not proud of this, but it's true. I would go out during those years and stay out all night. And I would slip in the mornings, and my parents slept upstairs, and I would have my hunting stuff laid out downstairs, and I would just come in and start changing, and I would let my mama hear me down there, making her think I had just gotten up to go hunting, but I had came in to go hunting. Now, if any of you are thinking about using that, you are not right with God. I'm just going to let you know right now, young person. I was not right with God. So I would go, and me and Dempsey, we would turn our dogs loose. I'm just thinking of these quotes that y'all are not familiar with. We would let the dogs out and they would go hunting, and by the time they treed, it would be daylight, and we would just talk. And yeah, a lot of times he'd want to know, you know, about my escapades and what kind of trouble I'd got in that weekend, and we would talk. Well, after a few years of that, I got right with God and gave my life to Jesus. So Dempsey started hearing a whole different kind of talk. I wasn't talking about that stuff anymore, and he knew, and he was okay with it. I didn't push anything down his throat, but he could see a difference. And he certainly knew there was a difference when I quit the paper mill and went off to Bible college, decided I wanted to be a preacher. And years later, I got a call from Dempsey, and his dad had died. And that was the thing that woke Dempsey up, and he said, Blue, that's what he called me, Blue, it's time. I want to give my life to the Lord. And I led him in the sinner's prayer over the phone. He had no idea that I'd been praying for him for years, ever since I'd got saved. I had another person on that list. His name is Scott Fuller. Scott Fuller was a bad linebacker and fullback that I played football with. He was a year ahead of me. We rode dirt bikes together. We had a good time. We also went out and partied together. So when I got saved, Scott's a great guy. And I just, man, Lord, I want you to save Scott. So I began to pray with him on that list for years. One day, I heard that he'd gotten saved. I didn't have any personal connection to it like I did with Dempsey, but I called him and I said, hey, Scott, I heard this. And he said, yeah, man, I did. I gave my heart to the Lord. And I said, I want you to know I've been praying for you for all these years. And he said, you know what? And I told him I was living in Rocky Branch up there around West Monroe. He said, Randy Havard lives up there around you somewhere. Well, Randy Havard is his first cousin, and it's a guy that I graduated high school with. You know what I did? Scott said, you need to find him. I added him to the list. I put him on the list. Now, I was a youth pastor, and I went up to my youth group, and I said, hey, we got to pray that I can find Randy Havard and lead him to the Lord. I don't know where he is. I have no idea. Can't Google him. There ain't no Facebook. None of that's around yet. It's about 1992 or 93. So we started praying, and I started praying. Probably 2 months later, I'm about to leave up there and go home for a week to Alabama, where the Crimson Tide lives. Okay, just to be real, it's Northwest Florida. It's not even in Alabama. It's on the Alabama line. But the glory just flows over the line into Northwest Florida. I need to get this out of my system before a month, because I know I got to be quiet when season starts, because I do want a church to preach to. So, man, we're going home, and I stop at Walmart, and I'm paying for whatever. Kids and wife are in the car waiting on me, and I hear somebody call my name, Keith Bryan. And I look up, and it's this dude with hair down to here. He's got on biker boots. He's tatted up. Not that tatted up means anything, because we got tatted up people. As far as y'all know, I am too. You don't know. So he's Pastor Keith. He's like, it's Randy. I said, Randy, is that you? I didn't recognize him at first. And I gave him a hug. Here, I'm trying to leave to go on vacation. I said, Randy, I got to see you when I get back in town. Let's have lunch. And he said, okay. So I got back in town. Me and him ate these. I don't know. I try to think back and go, man, you would eat anywhere back then, wouldn't you? Because we ate at Shawnee's. So we ate at Shawnee's, and I just told Randy what had happened in my life since we'd known each other in high school. That's all I did. Told him how I got my heart broke, how I'd just been messed up. And through that heartache and that heartbreak, I came to Jesus and gave my life to Jesus and answered a call on my life. Now I'm in ministry. Tears were running down his face by the time I was through talking. I said, Randy, don't you want to give your life to the Lord? He said, yeah. I mean, his papa was a preacher. He knew about it. He just never accepted it. So we walked outside and knelt down in the Shawnee's parking lot and led Randy Havard to the Lord. Can you imagine the next Sunday? Well, we left there and went to his house and led his wife to the Lord, Debbie. Can you imagine what that youth group thought the next Sunday when that couple walked in and I said, hey, guys, Randy Havard. Isn't that awesome? Don't you know they're like, what? Yeah, prayer works. Make a list. Got to tell you about Randy. I could grow a full beard in the 10th grade. Randy had hair, about two or three hairs this long on his chin, that he'd been growing all his life, you know. And I had this full beard, and Randy would look at me and say, hey, Brian, 3 days. It's like, that was his thing. 3 days, like that was a 3-day growth. Has nothing to do with what I'm preaching on, but Just a little bit more about Randy Haver. What kind of lists are you making in your life? What do you need to circle in prayer this morning? It's not unbelievable. You're talking about stories. Trey and I were sharing some of these stories this past week, and he was giving me stories about ministry and prayer and miracles that had happened. So after this last service, I walked into my office, and I saw I had a message. The message, it was a group message to me and Michael Montgomery, and it's from my friend Benny. I know usually when any of us get a group message with it's us three and maybe Den Hussey, I know that it's something to pay attention to. Listen to what this message says, and I'm going to change some names just because I haven't got permission from Benny to use this. He said, I need you guys to pray for my spiritual daddy as soon and as often as you can until you hear from me again. Now, I like that prayer request right there. That's the kind of relationship we have. Remember, these are the guys I used when I told you about the we factor. When my daughter was possibly on a deathbed in the hospital, it was Michael Montgomery that said, I'll be laying eyes on her in 30 minutes and I'll call you back. And he got to the hospital and he's the one that called me and let me know how my daughter was doing, because all I had heard was that she was in an emergency room and Baptist Hospital wanted me to call them. I was afraid they were going to tell me that she was gone. And she very easily could have been. Benny's the one that when one of my daughters had been mistreated, and here I'm living 8 hours away, and Benny says, man, I love you and I love the Lord, but you just say the word, you'll read about it in the newspaper. And I knew he was telling the truth, and I said, no, we're going to give grace. So today when he called, and he puts it like this, though, I want you to pray as soon and as often as you can until you hear from me again. Doesn't that sound like a prayer circle? Man, I texted him back and I said, hey, did you listen to my message this morning? He said, no, sir. And I was like, wow, isn't that something? A practical example already. Would you stand with me this morning as Trey comes? Perhaps you didn't hear Aaron before he left the platform, but he said, prayer is the most you can do. The biggest thing you can do for us, he said, is pray for us. Right. Who knows that, like, now that you know this couple and you've seen them, who knows that God may wake you up in the middle of the night, and he may need to know that there is a prayer warrior that will pray on behalf of Aaron and Stephanie and their precious baby. Guys, we need to be people of prayer, and God is calling us back to it. It's not just a first of the year emphasis. It's not just something we do every once in a while. We need to become expert at covering or circling our people in prayer. And we need to have the attitude, like Benny said, he knows that we're going to be praying as soon as we can and as often as we can until he says, hey, it's done. We've got an answer. That's how God wants us to pray. I don't know what you may have given up on this morning. Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe it's your finances. Maybe it's a child and their future. Maybe you've given up on a dream, on a business that you wanted to own. I don't know what it is, but I can tell you this. If you still have a pulse, it's not too late. It's not too late for you to recircle some things in prayer. Just to be sure you know what I'm saying. I mean, pray until something happens. Keep coming back to God in prayer. Pastor, do I have to beg him? No. But Jesus told parables to teach us to always pray and never give up. He literally says, you need to keep coming back. You know what? It's not for God. It's not that we have to remind God. It's for us, I can tell you. When we pray, it changes us. God changes the situations. So maybe the Lord is speaking to you today about a prayer list that you'd forgotten about. Maybe he's reminding you of some promises that you need to hold on to. some things that you need to circle in your life. If you just bow your heads and close your eyes, no one's looking around. If you're here this morning and you say, Pastor Keith, there are some things that, yes, I need to get back in the secret room. Or maybe you never have. You just feel today that you know God is speaking to you. It's time to circle some things in prayer. It's time for me to pray until something happens, because I serve a God who can do anything. If that's you this morning, you say, that's me, Pastor. I want to become someone who leaves a prayer legacy. I want to be called back into personal prayer with God. If that's you, would you just raise your hand? I need to circle some things, Pastor. Yes, thank you, thank you. You can put your hands down. I just want to pray and agree with you. Father, you saw the hands and you know our hearts. You know where we struggle for faith. You know, Lord, there's sometimes when we need to know when it's time to let go. I just pray that you would speak to every person's heart. You know their individual situation. And I pray that they would hold on to you in prayer until you change it, or you tell them they are released from that prayer burden. God, I pray that in the secret place, you would reveal yourself to someone who has raised their hand in a way that they've never known you. You said, if we seek you, we'll find you. You said, if we knock on the door, you'll open it. So, Lord, I pray for those that raised their hand that this week, even starting this afternoon, that they would begin to knock on the doors of heaven, that they would begin to seek you, and that you would reveal yourself to them in prayer. I thank you for that. I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. If the prayer team would come, I'm about to dismiss you. We want to give you a chance to practice what we preach, and that's pray. So in a moment after I dismiss you, you'll have the opportunity to let someone agree with you in prayer. And remember, anyone who wants one of these books, especially the parents who are picking up children, but if you want one, I think there's enough for you guys to get one this morning. It did me good to sit with Trey and share some of those old stories. Because I don't know about you, but I don't want old stories. I want new stories too. Just, and that reminded me to get a text like this. Are y'all with me on that text? He didn't know what I'm preaching today. And he sends it and words it like that. I need you to pray as soon as you can and as often as you can until you hear from me again. Man, that's kind of a confirmation, isn't it? Same thing in your life. God wants to confirm. Give him a chance to show you what he can do. Begin to trust him in prayer. Begin to pray promises and believe God. He honestly wants to show out on your behalf. He wants to show himself strong on your behalf. Listen to me. Listen to what I'm about to say. It will not always be this way. I know you feel like it's always going to be this way. It's never going to change. But if you'll turn your heart, your eyes to God, if all you can pray is help. Pastor, I can't pray an eloquent prayer. He hears help. Help. Then I can assure you on his faithfulness, it won't always be this way. You won't always feel numb. You won't always feel like it's somebody else's life and not your own. You reach out to him in prayer. He's going to move in your life. Now I'm about to bless you. I'm not praying, but when I get through blessing you, if you need prayer, let someone agree with you in prayer. Let them loan you some faith this morning and help you be strengthened. May God bless you and keep you this week. May he keep you from evil and harm. May he put his hand on you and extend your realm of influence and give you favor. May he open doors that no man can close. I pray that joy and laughter would spill from the doors and windows of your home, that dark days would be over, that depressed days would be over, and that you would know the joy of the Lord. I speak that into your life. You receive it from God in Jesus' name. If you need prayer, please come and get prayer. Remember, we'll see you Wednesday night as we start back Wednesday nights.